Last orders at the bar, please.
Welcome to Tavern Tales, a curated 5e Dungeons & Dragons adventure set in the Tales of the Yawning Portal campaign module by Wizards of the Coast. Previously on Tavern Tales, a plan has been hatched on how to defeat sea lions and manticores, as it appears there is little option but combat and agility.
Come sit down and drink with the enemy, raise a glass and toast to the enemy, and I'm not gonna do this on my own. So come sit down and laugh with the enemy, raise a glass and sing to the enemy, and I'm not gonna do this on my own. So
we have one less scorpion. I was going to go and feed the sea lions or the manticores, but now they're all being jerks.
Yes.
Maybe they interpreted your legs as two fish sticks.
I'm going to jump down and go in.
The other way?
Yeah, okay. To grab the last scorpion.
Sure.
And I'm going to cut it in half.
With your arm blade?
With my arm blade. And I'm going to give half to the sea lions. I'm going to give half to the manticores.
Okay.
I'm going to feed them. Hacking through the scorpion shell is a little hard. I'm gonna cut off the stinger of the tail just to be nice.
Ooh.
Right? And you know, I pry open the shell just so it's a little bit easier.
Well,
and
it's just wet goop inside.
Yeah. And I'm get a little gross, but whatever. And then Thasis takes one half and chucks it towards the far away from where we're planning on crossing over and to initiate the plan. Right?
So closer to the external door?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So further away from the door that we're trying to leave from, so that Zuvus's plan, and I'm like, Zuvus, I like this plan. I'm going to just feed the hungry.
Okay.
And then the last one takes a little bit more effort to get chucked over.
Before you chuck it.
Yes.
Let me see if I have some sort of sleeping elixir that we can put on this scorpion that could even further aid us in this.
Okay.
Because I have 12 potions in my bag, and sure. I don't know what any of them do.
Fair.
So I'm going to rifle through my bag and start picking them up and looking at them and trying to see if I can decipher if one of them is some sort of sleeping concoction.
We flash back to when you got these 12 potions and you have described all of them, which we've never described before.
Mm-hmm. Would you like me to read all the descriptions?
No, I would like you to read one of the descriptions, as it happens to be a sleep potion.
Wonderful. This is going to be the sleep one. It is an ember stone vial with a dark metallic liquid.
Ooh.
I am going to pour half of the vial on one half of the scorpion and the other half of the vial on the other half of the scorpion.
Unfortunately, it is not that big a vial. So you can only pour it on half the scorpion.
Wait, I'm going to use it for the manticores.
I was going to agree.
Yeah.
It might wash away when we throw it into the sea lion water.
I'm not really worried about them.
Vulcan contributes to this conversation by going flap, flap, flap.
Yeah, I'm still flying around.
Yeah.
Y'all are now, they're now 20 feet away from me.
Yes.
We're talking in whispered voices so that the manticores who understand common don't hear us.
Sounds delightful. I mean, there is the wall of force in between you and them.
So I check the first half of the scorpion, the non-drugged.
Yeah, okay.
The scorpion away from the exit into the sea lion tank, and then I'm going to chuck the other one.
So there are a bunch of sea lions in there, and that will be short work for them. And then the manticores kind of yowl with a little bit of disgust, you'd feed those filthy animals and not us.
They're closer.
We're starving.
All right, your food's coming.
It better be the one in the sky. Oh, he looks delicious.
No, no, he's a scorpion.
I wish to crack his wings open and drink the marrow.
I hear none of this. I'm still flying.
Oh, you heard that.
Oh, I heard that.
Oh, yeah.
Before I throw this and feed the stupid manticores, Where do you need to be, Suvis?
Well, now that the sea lions are very shortly distracted, I should probably cast our web so we can begin our descent.
You're going to do it near the door, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And then I should be close enough to be able to cast Wall of Water between the manticore and our door, so it will at least slow them down if they try to attack us. And the sleeping elixir should also aid.
Mm.
So
give me the signal when you want me to throw it.
As soon as we cross the web to the other glass, I am going to immediately cast Wall of Water. So I'd say, as we are halfway down the web, throw the carcass.
I don't know if I can throw it that far. Maybe. We'll try.
Oh. You got to get it up 10 feet in the air,
yeah.
And you got to get it over 10 feet. That's 10 feet straight up and then 10 feet over.
Yeah. I'll be on the other side.
I mean, if you had help, you'd have advantage on the check.
Could Vulcan perhaps fly down, pick up the carcass, and fly it down to us and meet us at the end of the web?
Vulcan, here's a half a scorpion for you.
Do not eat it.
I was about to say I'm not hungry, but...
Okay, here's the plan.
You tell him the plan.
That was the plan.
Sure, but... whatever works best to get us out of this situation. Easiest.
All right, let's begin. And I cast web from the edge of the glass we're at to the next edge of glass.
Web is much bigger than that, right? 20 feet by 20 feet?
Okay.
Yeah, so your web will go from the glass over the water all the way down to the ground.
Cool.
Yeah.
Perfect. And
but you're not casting web before the beast is thrown, correct?
I was going to.
Okay.
I'm not going to.
Okay.
Drop the manticore. Drop it to the manticores. I get you the signal.
Drop it on the far side, away from the door.
Yeah, that was already part of the plan.
Okay.
You knew, not okay. Drop it, but you're both going to throw it together. So one of you, whoever's better, I think you're both exactly the same. Although one of you is better
at athletics. He's going to lift it and fly it over and drop it.
So one of you is better at athletics than the other. So he can just roll the athletics check with advantage.
I help.
Yes, because you're assisting and you have great strength.
19.
Wow, that is just barely enough.
Oh, good.
You heft this thing. It is not light. Up 10 feet. Like straight up 10 feet. And that's the big problem is you got to get that 10 foot right at the beginning and then get enough loft to get it over. So if you've seen those strongman games, you get it up, but you needed it to get out to get as far enough over as it's, you're just not going straight up in the air. Why don't you describe for me what happens when you chuck this thing and be successful?
So he does kind of like a track and field spin disc, not disc as throw, but
the hammer toss?
The hammer toss throw. And he heaves it up into the air. In a nice looking arc. Nice.
Yeah. What was the lower die that you rolled?
8.
So
it would have been 15.
Thasis is standing there. And gives a shove as you get it up. So it gets up over the glass. You've thrown it far enough to get into the pit with the manticores. It wasn't going to clear the glass. So Thasis gives it a little pop and it pops over, goes far enough, doesn't hit the glass or splash into the water at all. A sea lion yaps at it, of course, misses it entirely because that's way too tough a grab for a sea lion. Actually, I'll roll and we'll see what happens. Yeah, the sea lion misses it. What would have been funny is if the sea lion missed it by a ton, the sea lion could have grabbed it and flipped itself into the pit with the manticores too, which would have been really bad for that sea lion. Anyway, the thing lands with a big thud. You cast your web spell. Mm-hmm.
Cross quick.
Is that what you say to cast the web spell?
Oh.
Cross quick web.
Thwip thwip.
Spider-Man, Spider-Man.
Spiders, spin your magical web.
Cool, and some sort of draconic tongue, and you spray your spray bottle.
I do.
Right, but that is...
I know I've described it before, but I can't find my note on it, so... It's a clear bottom that just looks like it has dust particles in it. It almost looks like an empty, dusty glass bottom. And then the nozzle almost looks like it creates like pasta noodles. And so when you shoot it, the particles connect as it passes through the nozzle and creates web lines.
Cool. It has a little bit of spider webbing ball that it fires out of it. You've locked to the beginning of it because we described that before. And it shoots out to the point where you're hoping for it, and it'll explode out in a 20-foot by 20-foot radius against that piece of glass, which causes it to go at an angle. And it slumps at the bottom. It hits that 10-foot top part. Webs almost lash out and hit you as you shoot it, because you just shoot it over the glass wall and then hop down before you got hit by the webs. And you have created a very sticky, difficult terrain ramp down. Meanwhile, Thasis is climbing back up the glass.
Yep. Well, I ran around to the other side where the web is, and I'm going to...
Right. Okay. So you're taking off and you're going to run the 100 feet double move. And what's Vulcan doing?
He's just going to fly up again, because there's no point in him going through
All right, he waits the round and leaps up into the air. So Vulcan is the first to see that one of the manticores has driven off the other two manticores, being bigger and stronger and eats faster. And the other two manticores have not had their food put into a bathroom and the door closed for them. So they've been pushed aside by the snapping, angry manticore. So the bigger one that was talking to you before
What's the name of that manticore?
Well, there's three of them, right?
No, I know. So, I'm just asking, what's the name of the manticore that eats all the food?
Well, we have Chutney and Gigi and...
Aria.
So
I was going to say like Arium or Ariel, so that I was like a manly...
manly name of Aria. That's fine. Says Aria the manticore is feasting, and it could be a lady manticore. It's just how they talk. Or they manticore. They don't really care about gender. This manticore gobbles down and is driven off the other two, who have slinked to one side and look about beatily and angrily that the one's getting fed and the other two aren't. And they see the group of you running around. They're distracted a little bit by the seal lions eating their part of the scorpion. And then I need 10 d8s rolled. So have fun with that.
I have three.
I have one.
Holy crap, that was a really bad roll.
11.
And then adding...
3.
14.
14. 28.
28 is not enough for this manticore to be put to sleep from this massive spell, because the manticore does have 68 hit points. Odds were not in your favor, because you would have needed to do an average of 6.8 on each die, and then Marie Claire goes and rolls like four ones.
I rolled really well the first time.
Yeah, if you'd gotten to roll at all, maybe that would have happened. But again, it was only... So a normal sleep spell does 5d8 worth of sleep hit points. And if you pass the number of hit points that a monster has or any sort of thing has, they immediately fall asleep. You've done no hit point damage, but it is it's a rule set that allows you to not hurt something but make them fall asleep. Unfortunately, if you don't do all their hit points... And it's not their max, it's how many they have. If you don't do all their hit points, they don't fall asleep. So this manticore does not fall asleep. It has 68 hit points, and you did not quite do enough. And a normal sleep spell only does 5d8.
Right.
So this one does 10d8. Does not fall asleep. It shakes it off. You've cast your wall of web. Now the difficulty is getting down there.
Mm-hmm.
Vulcan is flying. You can see the two manticore have moved. Well, they're right at the bottom of the web ramp that Zuvus is climbing down and Thasis is running up to leap up onto. What do you do?
Is there still room for me to cast Wall of Water in between the door and them?
Well, they're not right in front of the door. Perfect. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, because what I was trying to do is when we're coming down is cast Wall of Water like here so that we can get down here and go through the door.
So what you're saying is you try to make sure that you cast... web so that there was a 5-foot gap between the web and the door itself so that you would have room to maneuver apart from the web. The web extends past the door because it goes down, it kind of limply hangs there, but it does extend out like 8 feet towards the door itself, and it's 20 feet long into the tunnel. So the manticores have rushed forward and they're on the edge of the web. So they're about 25 feet away from the door.
Perfect. Okay. It appears the sleeping did not work. However, I still think we have a chance with this plan.
He shouts as he climbs down the web and tries to make the movement. Now, what is your movement? 30 feet, right?
Yes.
and you're moving through difficult terrain, so your movement is halved, so it's only 15 feet that you're able to move. So you could double move and get to the bottom of the web, but that leaves you with no action to take.
I'll just move once.
Okay, so you have 5 foot left. You're kind of hanging there. There's no need to roll. You've passed the sea lions, which aren't even paying attention to you because they're feasting on that half a scorpion. And Vulcan is flying around. Thasis, can you make an athletics check to jump up and kind of try to shimmy down?
14.
That's more than enough for you to hop up and start to make your slow movement down. Your movement is also 30?
Yes.
So you can get 10 feet because you had to jump up there, right? You can get 10 feet down this thing. If you want to double move, you would be able to get the remainder of that other 10 feet and be down there, but you would not have any more of your move left. Would you like to pause? Okay, so you hold out. And Vulcan, what are you doing as you soar and swoop and wassail?
Open the door.
He's going to first alert Thasis and Zuvus that the two manticore have relocated to the base of the web. So we'll need to move quickly. And he's going to fly to the door and open it.
So that door that you would love to just open does not look like a normal door and has a ship's wheel almost looks like set in it that has numbers all around it and has a spinny, like you can turn this both left and right.
Freaking combo lock.
Oh no.
All of water is only for a minute. Isn't it?
10 minutes.
Ah.
We also have a couple options if this doesn't, because I can also make it foggy so they can't see while we work on the lock. I can gust them away with my wind. I was thinking the wall of water, though, would be the most effective of trying to reduce their ability to come towards us.
I mean, they are cats. They don't like getting wet.
True. Especially those ones.
I would like to revise that.
Uh-oh.
You land, and that door definitely looks like a very normal door with a push-down handle that you can open towards you. Don't know if it is trapped or not yet. You look back and see that two manticores are now moving towards you around the web to feast upon your bones as they so desired and are speaking their incoherent, insane ramblings. And you can see the manticore that's feasting on the scorpion has stopped feasting on the scorpion because he sees other live prey that he'd like to take for himself as well, because why let the other two manticores eat at all when you can eat his full and then let them have the dregs? And you can see set in the wall directly opposite you is that spinning wheel with the numbers on it. A safe set into the opposite side of this room, probably filled with worldly valuable goods and whatnot. There's a door before you.
It's like those people that hide keys in their terrariums of their scorpions.
Exactly that. It is a new round.
What do you want to do?
Zuvus gets to go.
I'm sticking Zuvus's eyes on the plan. So he quickly casts Wall of Water in between Vulcan and the manticore.
Okay, how wide is Wall of Water?
30 by 1 by 10.
And what happens if you make it on top of the manticore?
Manticore?
On top of them?
It shoots up underneath them.
So it just says, you conjure up a wall of water on a ground point you can see within range. The wall space is difficult terrain. It doesn't say. It just says, any ranged weapon attack that enters the wall space has disadvantage on the attack roll. Fire damage is halved. Spells that deal cold damage that pass through the wall cause the area of the wall they pass through to freeze solid. Each 5-foot square frozen section has AC 5 and 15 hit points. Reducing a frozen section to 0 hit points destroys it. I feel like it has to come up in an empty. I don't think it can. It says Xanarth's Guide to Everything. Yeah. I'm looking at Wikidot.
And this is a Triton spell, correct? This is not your Artificer spell. So you are the first to act. It is weird that for some reason it doesn't have it where I'm going to guess, because all of the other wall spells typically have a creature that this thing is summoned upon has to make a dexterity saving throw or blah, blah, blah. But they end up on one side or the other of it.
Well,
no matter.
Or it specifies it has to be in a free space, but it doesn't say either.
Usually it says if you summon it underneath something and it destroys them or knocks them askew.
Right.
So let's just say you get to decide which side the creature will be landing on. And especially because it's a 10-foot it's a large creature, it's going to end up away from your group. Mm-hmm. So you're standing there on the web, you cast Wall of Water. What do you say? What does it look like? How does it spring into existence?
So as this is a Triton spell, Zuvus puts his hands out in front of him, his wrists touch together, almost like he's holding an invisible ball, and he starts rotating them. And as he's rotating, there are clouds that develop above the lowest section, and it starts to rain. But as the rain hits the floor, the rain builds on top of itself, kind of like Tetris, and it builds a wall. And then as soon as the wall is complete, the clouds dissipate.
And let's point out, this is not like a light spring shower. No. This is a torrential summer thunderstorm in a 1 foot enclosed space, the likes of which would cause cars to roll down the street because they've been picked up by this wall of water that's rushing down a street if that was to happen. And instead, it stands of its own volition, 1 foot thick, 10 feet tall, prohibiting the immediate access of these manticores to get through. That was your action. You spend the rest of your move, I'm guessing, to climb down the rest of the way.
Correct.
And then it is Vulcan's turn.
So Vulcan approaches the door rapidly, thrusting forward his bandaged arm, depressing the latch with a great thunk, heaves the door open with a mighty grunt.
The door opens away from you.
So he pulls, okay, fine.
And no, and yet he rips the lintel off.
Yes.
As he gives it a resounding tug. But Vulcan has also not bothered to check for any traps or see if this door, just assuming it's and it is unlocked, it does not have any traps, as he hauls this door open, and the door opens on a lovely lit interior room, kind of circular in shape.
Nice wallpaper.
Nice, yeah, sure. Really great, lovely wallpaper. Lots of cushions and couches and divans and other stools and some statues and whatnot. And looks like opulence within. I'll describe it in a brief moment, because that's what Vulcan can see as he steps into the doorway and then allows for his compatriots to move through if necessary on their turns. But it is now the Manticore's turn before Thasis gets to go, while Thasis stands on the web. And the Manticore's fire spikes through the wall of water towards Thasis. This tells me that any ranged weapon attack that enters the wall space has disadvantage on the attack roll. So I will roll with disadvantage. Many times.
Uh-oh.
That's a 3, so that's a failure. That's a 3, so that's a failure. That's a... So, the first Manticore launches 3 spikes to hit into the water and then kind of fizzle out and fall. And another one hits into the water, fizzles out and falls. But another one catches a moment in there and cuts through brilliantly and skewers right into Thasis. Because I think a 16 beats your armor class?
Yes, it does.
Great.
Does the damage get affected at all if it goes through the wall?
No. Only if it was fire damage or ice. Ah. Does something happen?
It's a lot of dice.
Yep.
But there's so many, because there's disadvantage as well, right?
You're hit 3 times, once Ow. By each. They fire a bushel of spikes at you with their tails as 9 spikes come hurtling through the wall of water towards you, doing 21 total points of damage, each one being 7 points. That was a lot of dice.
You hear Thasis go, ugh!
Yeah, as you're pin-cushioned by porcupine quills.
I do not appreciate being a voodoo doll. Goodbye to you, and I fed you so nicely.
That wasn't enough food for all of us.
Well, you're bad, so now you're grounded.
Roll an intimidation check.
I'm skilled in that.
I know. Find them.
Nope,
oh my god.
That was not it.
You have acquired Savannah and Allison's luck in this game.
It's this spot.
Probably.
I got a 10.
They laugh at you. And they're like,
it's okay, I'm a little dull.
Coraptus already cut our wings. Do you think your grounding will do anything to us?
And then they like squabble with each other for, it was not the principal one that spoke there.
You spoke out of turn.
I have some problems to work through.
I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
But they don't try to cross the water wall, even though they definitely could.
Yeah.
They definitely could with their strength and whatnot. They shy away from it initially. You know, next round, they are going to tempt it. But it is now Thasus's turn.
Yeah, I'm going to go through the door.
All right, you use the rest of your movement to climb down gingerly, tentatively. None of the sea lions have even come near you yet, but you think you're only a couple rounds away from that happening.
Yeah, no.
And you make your way in through the door. We are now at the top of the round where it is Zuvus's turn.
I go through the door.
You go through
immediately.
The door.
Can we shut it?
Well, you broke the door off.
Oh.
Yeah, I did yeet the door off.
I will try and like get the door to close all, but I think part of the reasoning,
really go through it.
Yeah, I think the reasoning was they looked like they were too big to go through it from way up where we were.
But also, like, we don't want them shooting spikes through the door.
Yeah, so I'm going to try, as I run through the door, I'm going to try and pull the door up, and then I'm going to yell for Vulcan to try and squeeze it into place.
Cool. Do you have mending?
Yes.
As a cantrip?
Oh, yes. I will mend the door back into place so it's now fixed.
All right. Take your action and do that.
I'm going to use prestidigitation to make it look pretty.
I also have that.
All right. Not your turn. But
I'm going to use prestidigitation to make myself look pretty.
All right. You haven't even checked inside the room yet because you see the door will not close behind you. So you begin to cast mending. And what does that look like?
I find the bag of the same scrap metal that I used earlier to make my tools.
Yep.
And I start tinkering with those on the door hinges and around the door. And you just see like flying pieces of metal going. Kind of looks like Fantasia, but for metal.
So metal band-aids.
Yes.
Or some form of band-aid that you're sticking to the wall. And then it melds and absorbs into
like
it to
metal
look.
Metal putty.
Yes.
To look like the door itself, and it reshapes and reforms the wood back to its previous state.
Yes.
Cool. No spray bottle needed. Just a bunch of metal band-aids from your first aid mending kit.
Yep.
Okay. And this is why you cannot do that to humans.
Yes.
Wonder what mending does to our construct friend.
Only one way to find out.
And construct
has
got
out loud?
Three giant quills sticking out of her porcelain form. Meanwhile,
hey,
Vulcan.
Vulcan, can you pull these out?
Vulcan's busy looking at lavish furnishings and decorations are everywhere in this large round room. The floor is strewn with rugs and cushions and tapestries cover the walls. A hookah as tall as an adult human stands in one corner. But the largest piece of furniture itself is a sumptuous divan, like one-sided couch, right, with no back. Beautiful. Giant couch. There is a doughty halfling warrior standing on the divan, and he shouts, "Close the door! Close the door!"
"I'm working on it."
"Huh, that voice is familiar to me,"
says this doughty halfling warrior.
God, does everyone I know just get locked in this place?
It's like a second home for you,
right?
Vulcan, can I get your assistance with something kind of personal? In that I am stabbed through the body.
I can assist you in removing said foreign objects.
You see these quills here? Could you pull them out for me?
It's hard to miss them, but yes, I will pull them out. And he's gonna try pulling on one of them. And does it come out like easy or does it come out?
I assume it's kind of like, yeah, okay.
So he gives it a good couple yanks and it pops out. Then he does that for the next two.
It's sort of disconcerting to see that like there isn't blood that comes out afterwards.
Is it just motor oil?
I was thinking that.
There's nothing. It's like nothing. Nothingness.
So now you just have these holes?
Yeah.
Mending. Make it.
That's what I
just need a health check normally.
No, this is going to be a for sure spot weld.
After Zuvus has finished working on the door, he yells back to whoever said that, saying, "I don't know who you are, but I did fix the door." And he's brushing his hands off, looking down at his hands as he's walking up.
"Well, you're right. No, I guess I don't think we've ever met, but your voice sounded familiar. I'm Elton Brushgather," he says.
Elton Brushgather.
That's my name, and I'm glad you fixed that door that you just broke, so kind of balanced yourself out there, didn't you?
Are you trapped?
Yes.
Oh.
How did you get down here?
Just woke up here one day.
You say that I sound familiar?
Yeah, you did. Your voice sounded familiar, but it, now that I see you, I don't recognize anybody looks like you before. Yeah. No, I don't think I've ever met Azuvus.
How did you know my name?
Oh, yeah, he said it.
Did you say my name?
I don't recall.
Can I do a insight check?
Sure. Are you any good at those?
Yes, I am. I'm proficient in insight. I got a 9.
So you're not too sure? Vulcan might have said your name while you were repairing the door.
Yeah.
I'm going to look around for the next door.
There are no other doors.
There's no other doors.
This room is a closed room.
There's just the safe door.
The safe.
Right?
There's a safe on the other side of the thing.
Oh, yeah. No.
God damn it.
Where is the key?
What key?
Not your key, our key.
Donde esta a key?
You, my best friend Zuvus in the whole world, have it.
I do not. I used it on the first door, and then I believe I passed it off to Vulcan to open the second door.
Vulcan, do you have the keys?
Oh, that key?
That key's long gone.
You guys have that key. That's fine. No, it's around your neck. Yeah.
I thought that key disappeared when we closed this.
No.
It was just the door that disappeared.
Sorry, yeah, the door disappeared. You still have that key.
Yeah.
There's nothing. Whoever has the key can't see. There's no magical doors. That key was just for those two doors. And
he just had the idea.
Yeah, I agree. It's a great idea.
Thank you.
This concludes this episode of Tavern Tales, a curated Dungeons & Dragons 5e game set in the Tales of the Yawning Portal adventure module by Wizards of the Coast. Our intro and outro music is the song Tavern Tales by the Bad Billy Band. You can find out more about the Bad Billy Band on iTunes or at www.badbillyband.com or follow them on Twitter at Bad Billy Band. Thanks for listening. Please feel free to leave us a review on iTunes or find us on Twitter at tavern_tales. We'll be back next week with more of the adventure.
Vulcan is going to use...
Vulcan?
Oh, I've read...
Okay. I know, right?
Oh, yeah, because you kept forgetting my name last.
So I read that
so now
name.
Now you're the same character.
What do I do?